A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "Remember how for 40 years now the Lord, your God, has directed all your journeying in the desert so as to test you by affliction and find out whether or not it was your intention to keep his commandments. He therefore let you be afflicted with hunger and then fed you with manna, a food unknown to you and your fathers, in order to show you that not by bread alone does one live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of the Lord. Do not forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that place of slavery, who guided you through the vast and terrible desert with its serpents and scorpions, its parched and waterless ground, who brought forth water for you from the flinty rock and fed you in the desert with manna, a food unknown to your fathers." The word of the Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord, Jerusalem.
Oh, praise the Lord, Jerusalem.
Glorify the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you.
Oh, praise the Lord, Jerusalem.
He has granted peace in your borders. With the best of wheat he fills you. He sends forth his command to the earth. Swiftly runs his word.
Oh, praise the Lord, Jerusalem.
He has proclaimed his word to Jacob, his statutes and his ordinances to Israel. He has not done thus for any other nation. His ordinances has not made known to them. Alleluia.
Oh, praise the Lord, Jerusalem.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, brothers and sisters. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because the loaf of bread is one, we, though many, are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
I am the living bread that came down from heaven, says the Lord. Whoever eats this bread will live forever.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the Jewish crowds, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord. Y'all know what I mean when I say a movie trailer, right? A preview of a film. You see these ads, sometimes they run on TV, sometimes they run on the internet, like on the side of some article that you're watching, or if you ever actually go to see a movie in a theater, and you get there and you have to sit through previews of coming attractions of films you may or may not be interested in. But in these movie trailers, you can tell by the tone of the trailer, or maybe by the actor and actress that you see portrayed in there, what kind of film it is promoting that they're trying to attract you to. You know, whether it's an action adventure or a mystery or a love story, you know, you can tell. In the Old Testament, we have sort of movie trailers throughout. Scripture scholars call them types, things that exist in the text that point to something that fulfills the text in the New Testament. And we have a really, really big one today for the solemnity of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today is also known as the Solemnity of Corpus Christi. That's sort of the formal Latin name for it. It's not named after a very popular town in Texas. It's the Latin for body of Christ. The solemnity of the body and blood of Christ is a solemnity that celebrates the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. The fact that at the consecration, that bread and wine become the actual body and blood of Jesus Christ. So the preview of coming attractions from the Old Testament, our first reading, is Moses talking to the people about the manna. The Jews called the manna the bread that came down from heaven. Moses tells us this was a gift from God to sustain them on their journey from slavery in Egypt to the freedom of the promised land. It is a type, it is a preview for the New Testament. It is a preview of the Eucharist, which Jesus tells us is the true bread come down from heaven. It is meant to strengthen us during our pilgrim journey here on earth as we learn how to know, love, and serve God. And we do believe it is his actual body and blood, even though, as the song Tantum Ergo says, our senses fail us because all we see is bread and wine. You know, there were some polls out recently that showed a shocking number of even Catholics do not believe in the real presence. But I have to ask you, if you believe that, if you believe it is not the real presence, then do you believe Jesus lied to us when he said it is? Think about that for a minute. Jesus said it is. If it's not the actual body and blood of Jesus Christ, then what are we doing here? Really? Are we just a bunch of nice people sitting around thinking nice thoughts together and maybe having a nice little snack at the end? I'm being facetious, and I know that a couple of you are probably upset at what I just said. Well, good. You have a little bit of the idea of how the Jews felt when Jesus told them he was the one that they were going to have to eat. They were like, what? Eat your flesh? Drink your blood? This is nuts. They were absolutely shocked. They were scandalized. In fact, you don't see it in this gospel, but the very next few verses, a bunch of them just went away because they couldn't handle it. And why? Well, first of all, cannibalism was a big, huge no-no. The Jews didn't even consider it at all. That was just out of the question. And secondly, they avoided blood. The reason for that was they didn't understand, like we do, the scientific understanding of blood. They had no idea that it brought oxygen and nutrients throughout the body to help it move and live. What they did understand was that if you let enough blood out of a living creature, it would die. And so they used their minds to logically come to the conclusion that blood was the essence of life. This was how God put life into a creature. And therefore, blood belonged to God and was too sacred for man to come in contact with. That's why all these Old Testament rules about if you got blood, how you had to purify yourself. When they had their sacrifices, their covenantal sacrifices, they were animal sacrifices, not human sacrifices. They would take an animal, they would sacrifice it. They would pour the blood of the animal out on the altar. They would divide the body of the animal up. Part of it would be burned as an offering to God. Part of it would be eaten by the people, by the priests. By participating in eating the meal of the covenantal sacrifice, you bound yourself to that covenant. So Jesus uses the covenantal model of these sacrifices when he institutes the Eucharist. His body and his blood become the sacrifice by which we seal the new covenant with God. We will be his people. The Lord will be our God. In that sacrifice, that breaking of the bread. This is awesome. This is incredible. And for something so awesome, so incredible, we owe our deep respect. We show that respect in how we approach the Eucharist at Mass. In fact, how we even walk into the building, what we wear, what we think, how we act. The reverence should start by, an attitude of silence and prayerful preparation as we come in. We can show it in how we actually receive. Now, you have the option of receiving either on the tongue or in the hand. That's correct. But think about how you do it. I mean, just if you're going to receive on the tongue, not just a little, but open wide. Take the Lord in. If you're going to receive in the hand, do what they describe as making a proper throne for the Lord, not reaching and grabbing. But this is important. This is my Lord coming to me. When the minister holds up the host for you to look at, the minister says, the body of Christ. When we respond, amen, it's not, yeah, okay, I agree. It's not even the simple, exact translation of the word, which means, so be it. I love the definition that Father Mike Schmitz put forward. Father Mike Schmitz is the guy who does the Bible in the Year and the Catechism of the Year, which are very, very popular on the internet right now. He says that amen should shake the church and means I stake my life on it. And I'll go in one further. I stake my immortal soul on it. The Eucharist, then. When we see the elevation of the consecrated host, keep in mind, this is the body of Christ. This is the food of the sacrifice that binds us in the covenant. This is what was given to us by God to strengthen us for our pilgrim journey here on earth and prepare us for that ultimate reward in heaven. So in a sense, the Eucharist itself becomes a preview of what's to come in heaven. A preview of our ultimate adventure. The ultimate mystery. The ultimate love story that is our God. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. God love you.